We are heading to the Clare Valley to speak with Hilary Mitchell from Mitchell Wines. Hilary, do you hear me well?
Yes, I can. How are you going?
Oh, Hilary, thank you so much for joining us, especially as you are on holiday. I really appreciate that. Tell us, where are you?
Oh, well, we actually just got home, so we're in Clare at the moment. Yeah.
Well, where were you?
We were down at the beach, down at Victor Harbour, which is perfect this time of year.
Beautiful. And so you've had nice weather there?
Yeah, it's lovely. It's about 10 degrees cooler than Clare, so it's perfect.
So I was expecting it would be pretty hot. So what's the temperature today?
I have no idea. I'm too scared to go outside. I think it's about, it's going to get up in the high 30s.
Also the same. So we've got Susan here from, she's in Sydney. It's going to be 37 there today. It's even hotter than we got.
Yeah, it's...
Goodness me. Well, Hilary, okay, enough about the weather, isn't it? We've got you here to talk about your beautiful wines, which I had the fortune to taste at the Brisbane Good Food and Wine Show in October last year. And obviously had a really good chat with you, and I was really blown away by, I think it was your Watervale Riesling, actually all of the wines I tasted were gorgeous. So first of all, let's start off with the Mitchell story. How did you, you are quite a family affair. How did the Mitchell family get involved in wine? And just give us the story.
Well, it's 50 years ago this year that Dad convinced Mum to move up to Clare and make some wine. It was my grandfather, my dad, the property my dad was born on, so my grandfather planted some Cabernet, and Mum and Dad used that, made a barrel, and it tasted okay, so they thought they'd make another one. And then, yeah, so it's really started with the two of them 50 years ago. Sort of everyone thought they were just these young, crazy Clare Valley people, but they seemed to know what they were doing.
They certainly ended up very, very good stuff. So a lot of, you're looking at the range of your wines, you've got the McNichol. So McNichol is part of the family name, is that right?
Yeah, McNichol married a Mitchell several generations ago, and the McNichol name was always handed down through the family. So that was in honour that those aged releases were for my grandfather, sort of in honour of and thanks to him for planting the vines that got them started.
So I'm assuming you started with Riesling.
We started with Cabernet. Riesling... So in 1977, they started making Riesling and Shiraz as well. So they bought a vineyard with vines that were planted in the early 60s. So they've always been dry grown, hand picked, really quite low yielding, but really generous flavour that we get from those old vines.
So I was actually with your Grenache. I think it might have been your which Grenache was it?
Kingsburg? Grenache.
Grenache that I had that was stunning. Watervale Riesling. But you also had, and we were just talking before how much we love Gruner, but Lena, you're producing a Gruner, but you're not doing it as a mono. Is that right? Is it a blend?
There were two vintages that are a blend. Purely, I mean, the vineyard that we get those grapes off is tiny, and we've planted some more, but it's one 500-litre barrel. So we handpick, press straight into the barrel, and the first vintage we didn't have quite enough to fill the barrel, so we thought, what can we do? We can either make a really small batch or we can fill up this 500, and we thought it'll go perfectly, bit of a Clare Valley touch with a bit of Riesling, and it worked really well. So that was the 500, that's how we made up that 500 litres. And then... Yeah, so the 22, I think, is a straight Gruner. So we're coming into a straight Gruner.
So we were just talking about Semillon, and you guys you grow Semillon, don't you? You've had a bit of Semillon down there, am I right?
Or
am
we've made a Semillon for most of the time. We still have been making it, we just haven't released it the last year. So we've still got the grapes, but it is a special vineyard. So sometimes we use it, we make a noble Semillon, so the dessert wine, and then we have their age, their Semillon that ages really well as well. the straight Semillon.
So do you have a favourite, as the winemaker in the family, do you have a favourite varietal to work with?
Oh, that's hard. That's like picking your favourite child. Depends on the where you are. I mean, on one hand, Riesling is so special because it reflects the vineyard and that vintage and that time and place, but it's also quite a hands-off winemaking. I mean, you really just gently move it through the winery and try not to intervene too much, whereas we've started making a Pinot Gris, which is great because we can do everything winemakerly possible to it. So we can move it around and stir it and full bunch press. It's just, yeah, so it's more fun. So it really depends.
So you find the Pinot Gris, that's a fun varietal. It's interesting when normally I ask this question, people's favourites are a Chard or a Riesling, and, you know, there is sometimes very, very obvious reasons for it. Very rarely does someone mention a Pinot Gris. Why is it so fun?
Well, it's just for us. I mean, it's something new that we're doing, so we've been able to experiment a little bit and do different things with it, just use the skins of it, and it's just different. So, I mean, the Riesling, Shiraz, Cabernet, and Semillon have been, I mean, that's what Mum and Dad have been doing for 50 years, so there's sort of not so much room to move there.
So you're doing an old liqueur Riesling as well.
Sorry?
An old liqueur Riesling. Talk us through that.
Yes, right. That is, so it's a fortified Riesling, but I don't think you didn't have that in Brisbane, did you?
No.
So that's slightly fermented Riesling, and then it's left in barrel so we fortify it with the wine spirit and then leave it in barrel. And that's the only one I actually haven't been involved with because it stays in barrel for so long and I've only been back at the winery for 10 years. So
So Rieslings, on that topic, we were just asking Greg before, you know, with Semillons, what's his preference, young or old? What's your thoughts on Riesling, young or old? What's your fave?
I think aged Riesling. Yeah. I think even with a couple of years, you can see the difference. I mean, I love, on a hot day like today, yes, you could probably like pull out a really young, fresh Riesling, but it gets exponentially better with a couple of years, so... And then after 20 years, I mean, there's no comparison.
And what about, you know, the 21 and 22 vintage? I mean, Hewan always says, you know, if you can get your hands on any of the 22 or the 21, you know, of clear, do it. He's just said exceptional.
Yeah, I have had to hide some of those 22s in the vineyard because in the warehouse because we sold out so quickly. So, yes, I had to hide them so we can have them as aged wines.
So you just mentioned when you came back 10 years ago, where were you before?
I lived in Barcelona for 12 years before I came back to the winery, so a bit of a different career change.
Very different. I've got to say, some of the Spanish wines are definitely my fave. Do you love the Spanish wines? What took you to Barcelona?
I worked in the fashion industry, so it was a bit more appropriate in Clare Valley. And, I did drink a lot of wine when I was there.
I'm sure there was a lot of drinking of wine in the fashion industry. But that's interesting. Let's pull off wine for a little bit. We love fashion. Susan and I love fashion.
Oh, yeah.
So what sort of clothing did you do? What sort of fashion?
Well, I was a pattern designer for a label called Desigual, which is a really colourful, founded in Ibiza, but... same year as Mum and Dad, and based in Barcelona. So we started as quite a small company when I began there, but it grew. You can buy it in Australia now. So,
Cool. So, what made you come back to the family? Like it was just, you know, you feel like you'd run the course. You'd been there for quite a long. What do you say? You were there for 12 years. Then you thought, it's time to go pick up the winemaking reins.
Well, that was Dad's fault. He came over to visit me, and we were going to do one of the Wine Australia tours of Scandinavia. And I said I'd accompany him. So, just before I met him, 2 days before I met him up with him up in Scandinavia, I found out I was pregnant, And he, I had to tell him because I, it was going to be obvious that I wasn't drinking. And he spent the whole trip reminding me how beautiful it was growing up in Clare Valley.
Right.
Very subtle. Right. So, yeah, when I got back, I talked to about 5 minutes. My husband was like, we're moving back to Clare, aren't we?
Sounds like he was about as subtle as a lead balloon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, he'd actually, when I arrived back at home, while we were away, he'd ordered Jamie Good's book on the science of wine and it arrived on my doorstep the day I got home.
Wow. So, what age were you when he put you to work in the vineyard?
No, I didn't work in the winery. I had nothing to do with it. I was, yeah, that was what Mum and Dad did, and I thought they worked way too hard. I wanted to be an artist, so there was
so
no...
So in arts and fashion, and yet you still came back and went, okay, I'm going to do winemaking, but I've never done it before. Was that hard? Like, you know, people go to Roseworthy, people study it just to...
I had to go and study it, but it's not hard. I mean, I think... It's all related. It's all about capturing a time and a place and sharing that experience with people and that beauty of, you know, something that creates memories and can evoke different things for different people. They're all sort of one and the same, just different creativities with different sciences behind them.
Yeah, no, that's such a good point. Look, I had a question in from Matt, one of our listeners. He said, hi, Jill, a quick bottling question for Hillary. Will Mitchell continue to bottle their beautiful Clare Riesling in larger format magnums?
We do have a couple of magnums. We do all our bottling at the winery, so it's quite a laborious task for us to... We have to do it by hand for the magnums, but we try to do a some now and then. We've got the 21 and we'll probably do the 24. So it's sort of a small batch, large format.
So where do we find your wines apart from cellar door and online? Do you stock in any restaurants or anything like that?
Sorry?
Do you stock in restaurants or anything?
Yeah, so I mean predominantly in restaurant would be the restaurant trade, but Pure Wine Co. are our distributors, and you're in sort of Brisbane and the East Coast, are all, so that's Pure Wine Co. and they do sell to some of the larger retailers. So I'm not sure exactly the venues, but yeah, hopefully you can find them in restaurants.
Hey, Hilary, I was talking to, I can't remember, I've spoken to so many wine people this week, but I was talking to one of the guys, winemakers down in Clare, and they were saying, you know, vintage was going to be late again this year. Is that, how's it looking down there for you guys?
Yeah, I just got back, so I'll probably go and do a run around the vineyard tomorrow, but it's starting to move, everything's starting to move now. It'll probably be looking towards the middle to end of February for us. So that's not late. I mean, it's happening.
What about last year? When did you pick last year?
Last year we started around the middle of February. So, since I've been back, the earliest has been the 1st of February and the latest was the 1st of March. So it's quite variable up here.
Yeah, I'd heard a lot later from some, so.
Well, it depends where you are in the valley. So we've got vineyards spread out through the valley, so the more southern vineyards will start earlier. And as you move up towards the north, they sort of just go back about a month. So the McNichol Riesling and our Watervale Riesling are about a month apart. So and that's the 10 minutes from Watervale to Penwatham.
So, Hilary, we've kind of Susan was doing something really fun with some of the interviews this morning, before we wrap. A few quick questions. Suze, do you want to fire some of those off that make sense? Because I'm finding it really fun.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, Hilary, you ready?
Maybe.
Okay. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Cabernet or Shiraz?
Oh, man. It'd be Cabernet. Although we sell way more Shiraz.
What's your signature dish?
I don't think I have one. I'm a vegetarian, so
right.
It's pretty experimental.
Actually, about that. Just before we continue on there, that's I find that interesting. So, because like, I'm a massive carnivore, but I also do, you know, I love vegetarian food because it goes great with meat. So as a vegetarian, and you know, obviously being a winemaker and you know, pairing food and wine and all that jazz, give us some great vegetarian options, because I genuinely sometimes really struggle. One of my absolute best friends is vegetarian, and when she comes and stays with me for like a couple of weeks because she's in San Francisco, I get a little lost as what to cook. You know, because here I'm like, you throw a steak on the barbecue, you throw a roast in the oven, you know, blah, blah, blah. So what, can you give me some great ideas and tell me which wines you like to have with them?
Well, any of the sort of curries or anything with spice is great with the Riesling, because that acidity just cuts through like the creaminess of a curry and complements the spice. So all the Asian foods. Mum makes an amazing Vietnamese salad, which is sort of spicy coriander-driven noodle salad. That's that into barbecue. I mean, you can always put vegetables are delicious on the barbecue as well. And now I think about it, I can make a fideuá, which is sort of like, it's a Spanish dish, which is a bit like paella, but it's made with short angel hair noodles. Mm-hmm. And so that's, Dad, after he came to visit me in Spain, came back and spoke to a friend of his who designed him a special paella making dish where you can light the fire underneath it and move it up and down. And I've since taken that to my house, and now I think about it, that'd probably be my signature dish, because it's so much fun to make outside and no one else really knows it, because it's a Spanish, particular to Barcelona as well.
I was going to ask you meat or potatoes, but let's be honest.
Potatoes!
Hey, look, so what's your favourite place in Australia?
Clare Valley.
You would in Clare, like to visit on holiday?
Do you know what? I have not travelled that much around Australia, because I left when I was 22 and didn't come back until recently. So I know the cities, but yeah, it's beautiful to come back to Clare. I didn't realise how much that I loved it until I came back.
Look, I was equally guilty. I saw when I worked on Gourmet Travel Wine, they were like, well, you're a Kiwi, why don't you go over there? And I saw more of New Zealand when I worked for the magazine. I did three big trips for about 2 or 3 weeks and didn't realise how beautiful it was in the South Island until I did, you know, driving through the Lindis Pass. And you feel like terrible, you know, so I'm guilty too.
Yeah, I mean, just the drive from Clare to Burra, and then you can drive back and you see the hills, and especially when it's green, it's just absolutely stunning.
So when you were in Barcelona, did you spend much time up at Costa Brava?
We'd go for our holidays, we'd go north.
Yeah, I went when I was there a few years back. I discovered this lovely little fishing village called La Franque, and it was amazing. Hadn't been ruined by the English yet. So, you know, it was just incredible. And I sent a couple of friends, in fact, Fiona McDonald, my friend we were talking about earlier, went there, and some other friends of mine, and amazing. So did you ever go see that?
We used to go to a place called Sant Pol de Mar, which is just about an hour north of Barcelona on the train. So that was, sort of unspoiled beach spot. And you could camp on the beach.
Did you go to Cattacus? Cattacus is one of my favourite little fishing villages. That is just the most beautiful, beautiful place. And okay, final question for you then, because I love Spain, I love Barcelona, I spent a lot of time there, not 12 years. Did you ever get to El Bulli in Roses for a meal?
No, we didn't.
bit of a special sort of place. Look, Hilary, this has been wonderful. Thank you. And all those tidbits, there we go, Spain and being a fashionista and your creativity. But look, the wines are sensational. So guys, check them out. Mitchell Wines in the Clare Valley. Give them a go. Really are wonderful. So Hilary, welcome back from your holiday. I'll let you get on with your Sunday. Thank you so much for joining the Wine Show Australia.
Thank you for having me.